första framrusande förbanden.
You see mines everywhere. You can look left and right and you see mines, half buried mines, full view mines. Just as far as you can see, you look left and right and there's desert and there's just lines and lines and lines and groups of mines out there. We crawled, low crawled, which is on your belly, probing along with the fiberglass rods. 70 meters in front of you, Iraqis. Marine snipers are behind us trying to suppress Iraqis that are moving through the trench lines. You hear artillery, mortars, small arms.
Under ständig beskjutning stakade Restifo ut stigar genom två minfält som låg i anfallets huvudriktning. Samtidigt var 17 000 marinsoldater på väg mot Kuwaits stränder. Två veckor tidigare hade man haft långt framskridna planer på en landstigning, men försvaret var så starkt att utgången hade blivit katastrofal. Nu ville Schwarzkopf få irakierna att tro att en landstigning var omedelbart förestående. För att förstärka skenmanövern fick löjtnant Tom Dietz order om att placera ut bomber på en strand i närheten av huvudstaden för att ge försvararna intryck av att man förberedde ett landstigningsområde.
We swam to a point where we were in about 5 feet of water, the entire time keeping our weapon focused on the beach. We moved in to where we were actually crawling in about 2 feet of water, and then to a point where the bomb was in 1 foot of water. We placed it on the bottom, again our weapons trained on the beach, and we just reversed the process. And we swam back and rendezvoused with our two boats. We were standing there watching, and all of a sudden the first explosion goes.
Slagskeppet Missouri sköt artillerield mot stranden med sina 40 cm kanoner för att göra illusionen fullständig. Missouri var med i andra världskriget. Många av granaterna hade tillverkats på 30-talet. Några månader senare skulle de sista slagskeppen tas ur bruk och granaterna skickas till ett museum. Men bombardemanget fick avsedd verkan. Irakiska styrkor flyttades till kusten, bort från det avsnitt där marinkåren skulle anfalla.
Marine Division will cross west of the Owafra in zone at approximately 0-1200 at H hour. Across the line of
the ute i öknen höll marinkårens förbandschefer en sista genomgång. De väntade sig hårda strider.
While I remain apprehensive about some of their capability, I'm also confident that we can work through that. I think we can work through their chemical capability.
Anfallet tog sin början.
I don't think anyone predicted that the Marines would get much farther than maybe 5 kilometers. At the very most, maybe 8. And that then, with the enormous, overwhelming forces that were arrayed in that area, that it would stop the Marines.
We're going through the breach.
Men när dagen grydde fick generalerna klart för sig att någonting märkligt hade hänt. Marinkårens fordonskolonner körde rakt igenom de fientliga ställningarna medan marinkårssången ljöd ur högtalarna.
Iraqi fighting positions.
Medan det allierade flyget höll utkik efter motanfall välde tusentals marinsoldater in i Kuwait utan att möta något större motstånd.
We expected casualties somewhere in the 25-30% range. But there was essentially no firefights, essentially no battles. The Iraqis were there, but they chose, they elected not to fight. In many respects, they could retreat and they could surrender much faster than we could attack or advance. And that the war really became a war of collection of enemy prisoners of war.
Efter 6 veckors intensiva bombningar från de allierade sida hade de irakiska värnpliktssoldaterna i främsta linjen förklarat för sig att allt motstånd var lönlöst. När anfallet kom hade hälften redan deserterat. De som stannat kvar hade drabbats av krigsneuroser och väntade gråtande på att få ge upp. Saddam Hussein nåddes av nyheten i Bagdad.
فكان يقول بصراحة يعني يقول مع الأسف تخنث الشباب تخنث الرجال أي لم يقاتل الرجال هذا شيء لا يليق بجيشنا ولكن الجيش لم يكن مؤمنا بهذه الحرب وكانت حربا قذرة حرب احتلال الكويت.
Marinkårens stridsvagnar vände nu mot Saddams andra försvarslinje som bestod av pansarförband ur den reguljära armén. I stridsledningen väntade man på den första insatsen av kemiska vapen. Men i Bagdad hade man beslutat annorlunda.
We didn't think that it was wise to use them. That's all what I can say, that it was not wise to use such kind of weapons and such kind of a war with such an enemy.
Om ett stort antal marinsoldater hade dödats med kemiska vapen på sin väg genom minfälten hade Pentagon svarat med att sätta Bagdad under 2 meter djupt vatten.
Knocking off the dams on the Tigris and Euphrates rivers would have caused enormous destruction downstream. The loss of civilian life would have been terrible and we really had not thoroughly analyzed. We knew how to hit the dams, but I don't know if we analyzed what the effect downstream would have been. But nevertheless, it would have been a good one to threaten the Iraqis with. And of course, there was always the implicit threat of nuclear weapons. I don't think we ever would have used them. But nevertheless, the Iraqis didn't know that. And we could have if provocation was serious enough.
Under de första timmarna tillfångatogs 8000 iraker. Efter Vietnamkriget hade den amerikanska militären svurit på att aldrig mer underskatta en fiende. Men i Vietnam var fienden beredd att dö för sin sak.
My own guess is that about 75% of them gave up and about 25% fought. As the day wore on, I began to become elated.
I general Schwarzkopfs lägesrum blandades lättnaden med rädsla för massiva motanfall, men det kom inga. Under dagen började det stå klart för Schwarzkopf att marinkårens framgångar äventyrade hans planer på att locka Saddams republikanska garde i en fälla. Marinkåren hade ryckt fram så snabbt att det republikanska gardet inte hunnit vända söderut för att gå till motanfall. Schwarzkopfs plan på att lura in dem i en förödande fälla höll på att gå om intet. Och de amerikanska och brittiska pansarförbanden skulle inte gå till anfall förrän nästa dag. Det skulle ge republikanska gardet tid att undkomma.
I decided to move the main attack up to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the principles of the overall campaign was to inflict as much damage on the Republican Guard as we possibly could, and they were sitting very, very deep, you know, out back in the desert. And so therefore it became obvious that if we were going to inflict that damage on the Republican Guard, we had to go ahead and inflict it as early as possible.
Under de 30 minuterna närmast före anfallet sköt det brittiska och amerikanska artilleriet 11 000 granater mot den irakiska fronten.
Plus 337.
Det var första gången britterna använde MLRS, en avfyrningsramp som sköt flera missiler samtidigt. Varje missil exploderade ovanför de fientliga trupperna och spred ut hundratals granater. På 30 minuter slog över 600 000 granater ner över de irakiska ställningarna. Generalen som ledde attacken var en noggrann och metodisk militär. Han hade varit med förut. I Vietnam miste han ena benet.
Memories of Vietnam are very sharp, clear to me. I mean, never far from my mind, and especially during the Gulf War. We didn't say it to each other, but I think we all felt that we're going to do it right this time.
När stormelden avtog vällde amerikanska och brittiska styrkor fram genom öknen. Det här var de styrkor som varit stationerade i Europa för att utkämpa det tredje världskriget mot Sovjetunionen. Nu, när det kalla kriget var över, kunde de sättas in mot Irak. Generalerna räknade med att det skulle ta 2 dagar att bryta igenom de främre försvarslinjerna, vilket skulle följas av 6 dagars hårda pansarstrider mot det republikanska gardet.
I thought that we would lose somewhere between, in the breaching units, that we would lose somewhere between 20% and 40%.
Amerikanernas första infanteridivision hade till uppgift att storma skyttegravarna för att röja väg för de brittiska stridsvagnarna. För att undvika närstrider tänkte man begrava de irakiska försvararna levande.
A thought occurred to me, we could actually use these plows to fill in the trenches. In fact, I tested it myself. I got down in the ditch myself and had 2 tanks plow towards me just to see what it did. I learned several things. One is I learned that it happens very quickly. So the defender has a choice to make, but he has to make it very quickly. He can either give up and hop out of the trench. He can try to run down the trench and get away. But he better do those quickly because these things move at an amazing speed down there.
Det gick en sandbarriär längs den irakiska gränsen. Bortom vallen låg ett 8 kilometer brett minfält och sen irakiska skyttegravar.
You got the first one. The first berm in a minute. That's real good.
Bandschaktare och stridsvagnar med plogar började bryta igenom vallen. Tätfordonet kördes av en 18-årig soldat som hette Joe Queen.
The rack is on the other side of the berm. And nobody knows where they're at until we cut through the berm.
First tank into Iraq!
Beskyddad av stridsvagnarna plöjde Queen igenom minfältet fram till skyttegravarna.
What we did is we just took the dirt that the Iraqi soldiers had dug out and put behind the trench. You just pushed that dirt right back into the trench. You could just look at the man's eyes and see fear. You know, you see him scared. You know, you're looking at a man's, the whites of his eyes as you're going through in the trench with this bulldozer covering in the trench. And they were firing at the bulldozer. And when the first bullet that hit the blade, that made me know then, hey look, this is for real. There's no game. Those are real bullets, and a bullet will kill you.
10 mil skyttegravar plöjdes igen. De flesta irakier gav upp. Arméns officiella beräkning är att 150 man begravdes. Joe Queen själv plöjde 3 mil i sträck.
You don't think about, hey, what about this guy? What about that guy? He had a chance to get out. He had every opportunity to get out. And he took the way to die for his country. Just like any American would.
Före gryningen hade 10 grupper ur specialförbanden flugits in i förväg och gömt sig bakom fiendens linjer. Från sina gömställen spanade de efter tecken på ett irakiskt motanfall eller insatser av kemiska vapen och kärnvapen. En av grupperna, Alpha 525, gömde sig inne i vallen till en dräneringskanal.
There was 2 girls and a small boy, and they come up and actually looked into the peephole, into the face of the sergeant that was inside the peephole. two of my soldiers left the hide site, the back of it, into the ditch with automatic silenced weapons and a silenced pistol, and actually had these children in the sights of the pistol and inquiring of me, what are we going to do? What should we do with these children? Should we shoot them? And I know in my heart, had I told them to shoot, they would have shot them children. But it was an instantaneous decision. No, we're not going to shoot children. It's not their war.
Alpha 525 anföll snart av 150 soldater. De dödade 40, men anfallen fortsatte.
I can remember feeling inside myself that, my gosh, we're all going to die here. There's no way that we can get out of this. They would mount attacks, and they would give out a yell, an Arab battle cry, like, and it was terrifying.
Man kallade dit amerikanska F-16-plan. Männen på marken signalerade sin position med hjälp av en spegel. Flygplanets kameror filmade vad som hände sen. Den första rösten tillhör Alfa-gruppens radiosignalist.
Please drop cluster bombs for personnel approximately a platoon size element 500 meters due north of our location. Be over.
500. Okay, understand that due north of your location. And I'm going to drop a bomb about 1,000 meters north of your position.
Roger that.
Make sure he understands this is cluster bombs. This is danger close.
Did you understand our ordinance is cluster bombs?
Roger that. Ordinance is cluster bombs. Affirmative, over.
That's a problem. We got bombs away now.
When we'd see the bombs coming in, I'm sure that everyone to the man was thinking, I hope those things don't come in on us, because they actually crossed right over top of us. And then you can hear the bombs actually hitting and start out as a small vibration and work into a crescendo and then come back down. And at the end of the crescendo, as it breaks down, you can hear the Iraqi soldiers, you know, yelling out and screaming because these bombs had hit the target.
Negative
on target. Open target. Good job.
And guard, keep your head down. We got some more coming in.
Roger that.
We stopped for a moment to, you know, to get our senses and listen, and you could hear breathing. We was that close to, you know, to the Iraqis, you could hear. We popped around the corner, and there, as close as 10 feet from us, they were hunkered down in the canal, and actually their weapons were laying down in the canal. So they were down trying to protect themselves from the airstrike that we had just called. And as they seen us, they grabbed their weapons. Of course, our weapons were at the ready. You know, a heart jumped into my throat as we pulled the trigger and, you know, unloaded into the point element. Dropped that point element, eliminated it, and as we walked by and looked at the bodies there, it was sort of a profound thought. You know, we had to take the lives of these people, and it really wasn't until we was on the helicopter, and well on our way back, that finally it hit me, like, we made it out of here without a single soldier hurt, which was a miracle.
Det var söndag morgon i Washington. President Bush väntade på nyheter. Om förlusterna blev svåra äventyrade det hans ställning som president och kunde leda till att kriget stoppades.
I got briefed just before I went into the church. The president was right ahead of me. I passed him a note that said, Mr. President, things are going very well. We all went back to the White House. I got out a map from Time magazine to sort of show him exactly what was happening. And I was able to tell him there that things were going extraordinarily well. We had assumed that the toughest part of the ground war in terms of casualties would have been the early hours of that conflict. And in fact, what we were finding was that the air war had been enormously effective and decimated the Iraqi forces, and that they, in effect, were collapsing in front of us.
Under andra dagen ryckte marinsoldaterna fram mot Kuwait City. Framför dem låg, trodde de, Saddams andra försvarslinje, de välutrustade pansardivisionerna ur den reguljära irakiska armén. Men nu kom irakierna med en överraskning. Från de brinnande oljefälten på marinsoldaternas högra flank ryckte hundratals irakiska stridsvagnar fram. Amerikanerna omgrupperade. Det här var ett motanfall som Saddam Hussein personligen hade godkänt.
Jag اعترضت على ذلك. قلت انا لا اؤيد هذا الهجوم. لأن الألوية التي تراجعت نحتاج لاستعادة أماكنها إلى قوة مضاعفة، ومثل هذه القوة ليست موجودة لدينا. كان رأيه لا، لنترك الخيار لقائد الفيلق ليستعيد المواضع. بعد حوالي ساعتين أخبرونا الفيلق بأنهم استعادوا المواضع، ونظر صدام إلي وقال: ألم نقل أفضل لذلك؟
Marinkårens flygledning förberedde ett motdrag. Order utgick till en grupp på 4 attackhelikoptrar av typ Cobra som var stationerade på en provisorisk flygbas nära den kuwaitiska gränsen. När helikoptrarna lyfte var marinsoldaterna på marken redan inbegripna i det största pansarslaget i kårens historia.
We'd got the word that there was an Iraqi counterattack. As we arrived out there, we saw horizon to horizon Iraqi tanks, armored vehicles. And as we started hitting these tanks and things started happening in our favor, the attack basically just ground to a halt. All the tanks stopped, the armored vehicles stopped, the hatches flew open, the Iraqis started bailing out of the tanks and, you know, scrambling around in the desert trying to figure out what was going on.
De irakiska trupperna försökte retirera in i röken från oljekällorna.
It was like, you know, something out of a, you know, spaghetti western with the tripwire and the horses falling. It was, you know, as you engage these troops with 20 millimeter, it was the first time I'd ever done that, and they just kind of pitch over in the desert.
Över 100 pansarfordon slogs ut.
Flying over the oil wells, it was like something out of Dante's Inferno. Thick black oil-filled smoke, a littered battlefield burning tanks, aircraft flying around, very surrealistic, and you almost had to slap yourself in reality to go out there and do your mission.
Saddam underrättades om att framryckningen mot Kuwait City hade återupptagits.
كان منزعجا من الجيش انزعاجا شديدا، ولذلك لسبب واهي غير موجود أعدم 5 ضباط من كبار ضباط الجيش بتهمة التغاذل والتراجع، وأعدمهم في هو حاكمهم، هو تولى محاكمتهم وحرس الخاص أعدمهم في الأبواب.
Once we broke that counterattack, we broke their back. That was the last gasp on their part to throw us back out of Kuwait. And from then on, we had a pretty straight shot into the city.
Den kvällen slog en skuddmissil ner i en amerikansk förläggning. 20 soldater dödades, USA:s största förlust hittills. Saddam Hussein hade hela tiden hoppats på att förluster skulle undergräva amerikanernas stridsvilja, men nu var det för sent. Saddam utfärdade en generalorder om reträtt.
Saddam huwa asdar amr al-insihab bihuduri. Wa amr al-insihab huwa lamma bada'at al-harb al-barriyah. كان يائسا من أنه يتمكن من الاحتفاظ بالكويت، أصبح الأمر مستحيلا.
I Kuwait City började irakiska soldater tränga ihop sig i alla fordon de kunde få tag i. En ändlös karavan bildades. De här bilderna togs av motståndsrörelsen i Kuwait.
I frequently talked to the resistance in Kuwait City via satellite telephone. I picked up and it was a colonel from the Kuwaiti Air Force who'd been trapped in Kuwait City. And he'd been in the resistance all this time. He started to tell me about the Iraqis forming up and fleeing the town. He became so emotionally happy, relieved, overjoyed about his country being freed, the terrible oppressors leaving. He started to cry. I'm embarrassed to say it, but I started to cry as well. I've never been so touched in my entire life.
Besättningen på ett F-15-plan som var fullastat med bomber för anfall inne i Irak fick nya order. De skulle anfalla konvojen som var på väg ut ur Kuwait City och stoppa den till varje pris. När besättningen gick ut till planet berättade deras chef hur många som hade dödats av skuddmissilen i Dahran.
I told them the importance of the mission. It's not just a retreating army. And these guys are rapists, killers, murderers. And coincidentally, a Scud had just hit Dahran airport and killed 60 Americans. And convinced them, and I'm sure that I did, that they needed to put some hate in their heart and go out and stop those son of a bitches from getting out of Kuwait.
As we dove out of the clouds, the picture was out absolutely astounding. There were thousands of headlights heading on every road that led north out of Kuwait City.
It's almost like hitting the jackpot. I mean, there are vehicles all over the place. It is a very lucrative target.
We had 12 500-pound bombs, and we elected to drop them three at a time.
The bombs impact in a string right across the highway with the center bomb impacting on in between two trucks, as a matter of fact, causing both of the trucks to burst into flame.
It might have been disorganized, but this was an armed retreat. They were shooting from the vehicles. They were shooting from manned sites on either side of the road. Missiles were fired, some randomly, some aimed.
Bomberna som Kraus och Seidel fällde slog ut fordonen i täten och vållade ett enormt trafikkaos. Snart anlände fler flygplan. De hade hunnit få med sig multipelbomber.
لو بينا نفر زور كوتبو همو برينار وهبو برينار وهبو زور برينار وهبو نسوشتي باريمو أمانا طبعا لو كانت هيجو سائلي نبو كخلق بجوزية تواني بس إما لو حالة حازبون يكسر هرشون بها هاتن با هبو با نيو مردوي بنيو مردوي هاتن يعني بين بو بين بو أو ناو سعرك إما بلان فريانا كوتن طبعا إما جيجا ما نبو أقل جيجا ما نبو أهل بسر ما نخصن بلان كجيجا ما نبو بحمو قوتين خوانا ششابة سعرك إما كانتك اخوانا شحمو جامو شتي ساركي امامو هنا بو شي بيالا نحمو اخوانا يبو ايمش ابتو كجي قمان نبو يكسل مانا روشتين
Piloterna kallade det dödens motorväg. Tre dagar efter markkrigets början var den armé som hade ockuperat Kuwait City inte längre stridsduglig. Tusentals fotavtryck försvann ut i öknen. Hundratals hade blivit dödade. Det som hände här skulle under de närmaste timmarna få stor betydelse för att kriget avslutades.
Why did we bomb them? Because there was a great deal of military equipment on that highway. I had given orders to all of my commanders that I wanted every piece of Iraqi equipment that we possibly could destroyed. This was not a bunch of innocent people just trying to make their way back across the border to Iraq. This was a bunch of rapists, murderers, and thugs who had raped and pillaged downtown Kuwait City and now were trying to get out of the country before they were caught.
Senare under dagen fick också britterna känna på flygets förstörelseförmåga. Den brittiska divisionen hade avvikit från amerikanernas anfallsriktning för att angripa de irakiska reserverna bakom den gamla frontlinjen. Det handlade mest om att samla upp tusentals demoraliserade soldater. Irakierna dödade en enda brittisk soldat. Men strax före klockan tre intog britterna en irakisk ställning. Två brittiska pansarfordon fullastade med infanterister gick i ställning in till de irakiska skyttegravarna. Vad som hände sen är fortfarande omtvistat. Britterna hävdar att de meddelade amerikanerna var de befann sig, men det förnekas av amerikanerna. Säkert är dock att medan britterna gjorde sig klara för att förstöra de irakiska pjäsvärnen drog två amerikanska A-10 slutsatsen att det rörde sig om fientliga fordon.
It was just like a flash.
And then suddenly you've got this searing pain across your face and your hands up.
And then all of a sudden, I had this vision of myself floating up towards the air. And I remember saying to myself, well, you know, that's your numbers up sort of thing. Now this, you're on your way to heaven.
And I looked down and I saw this blood coming through my clothing from the top of my thigh, and realised then at that stage I'd been hurt.
Trevor was crawling on his hands and knees and his belly towards the rear of the vehicle. It was all black. There was, he'd suffered burns. He'd suffered leg injuries.
I look in the back of the vehicle. And what I saw in the back of my vehicle, I would never want to see anything like that again in my life.
And I realised that two lads who died in the rear of the vehicle, who were sitting next to me.
And I see the second vehicle, the vehicle that had come round to help us, is suddenly going in and out like a pressurised can. It's expanding and contracting and expanding and then contracting. And I realised in that split second that vehicle was going to explode.
9 soldater dog. Under kriget dödades minst 35 amerikaner, en fjärdedel av USA:s totala förluster av eld från egna styrkor.
In war, you know, people get killed, it's inevitable. We're fighting against them, they're fighting against us. If it'd been an Iraqi plane, well, fair dues, you know, that you'd expect to be shot at by the enemy, but you don't expect to be shot at by your own side.
Ett amerikanskt spionplan tog den här bilden av slagfältet. Den visade hur Saddams bästa trupper, det republikanska gardet, började fly. General Schwarzkopf var ursinnig över att amerikanerna ännu inte hade fått stridskontakt med gardets drygt 60 000 man och deras pansar.
Here we have the golden opportunity to accomplish far beyond our dreams. What it is we set out to accomplish and to get this thing over once and for all very quickly, and it doesn't seem like we are able to capitalize on that opportunity.
De amerikanska pansarstyrkorna ryckte skyndsamt framåt. Schwarzkopf ville att de skulle gå ännu snabbare. Han hade utgått från att det republikanska gardet skulle gå söderut för att försvara Kuwait, men det skedde aldrig, och nu fick amerikanerna kämpa för att hinna ikapp dem. Schwarzkopf ville ha ett snabbt anfall, men befälhavaren på fältet var mer försiktig.
You get a probability of increased casualties. You get the probability of an attack that starts and stops and starts and stops, loses momentum. I wanted to hit the Republican guards with a three-division fist. I didn't want to poke at them with the fingers, in other words, piecemeal commitment of my forces. I want to hit them with a fist at full speed. At full speed.
General Schwarzkopf indicated, Freddy, let's get this mission accomplished and let's do it ASAP.
På krigets tredje dag fick man under eftermiddagen äntligen stridskontakt med det republikanska gardet. En spaningsstyrka på 9 stridsvagnar och 12 pansarfordon ledde den amerikanska framryckningen. Framför dem låg det republikanska gardets stridsvagnar i bakhåll bakom en lätt upphöjning i ökenlandskapet. Den första stridsvagnen närmade sig.
As we crested the rise, my gunner identified tanks to our direct front. He said, identified tanks. I yelled, fire. As I was yelling fire on the intercom, the gun erupted. The round impacted on the frontal slope of the tank, and the tank commander was ejected out of the hatch, and he himself was in flames. As the other tanks crested the rise, they began to select their targets and engaged in an almost simultaneous manner. So 15 seconds before, there was a cohesive or coherent Iraqi defense. 15 seconds later, that defense was completely in flames. When we look back over the armored vehicles, I think, my God, this is what an armored cavalry troop in the assault can accomplish in that short amount of time.
De kallade striden Ost 73 efter koordinaterna på kartan. 28 irakiska stridsvagnar förstördes. Den natten slog amerikanerna ut en hel division ur det republikanska gardet. De övriga fem divisionerna inledde en hastig reträtt. Deras chanser att undkomma ökade med hjälp från ett oväntat håll.
Colin Powell and Dick Cheney came over to the White House to give the president their daily report on how the war was going. And by that time we knew both from the military reports and from satellites about the highway of death leading north out of Kuwait City and the incredible destruction of the Iraqi convoys and so on. We knew all this would eventually be on television. And I remember very clearly Colin Powell saying that this thing was turning into a massacre and that to continue it beyond a certain point would be un-American. And he even used the word unchivalrous.
Medan amerikanerna anföll det republikanska gardet låg de irakiska ställningarna kring Kuwait öde. Amerikanska marinsoldater samlades utanför staden. Frågan var nu om man kunde krossa det republikanska gardet innan det blev politiskt lämpligt att stoppa ett krig där man redan hade uppnått det främsta målet, att befria Kuwait. 72 timmar efter markoffensivens början samlades amerikanska marinsoldater bland de brinnande oljekällorna utanför Kuwait City. De hade besegrat de irakiska försvararna med mindre förluster än någon hade vågat hoppas. Men i norr rasade fortfarande strider när de allierade försökte krossa Saddams republikanska garde. Utslagna irakiska stridsvagnar kantade vägen in till Kuwait City. Marinkårschefen hade befarat att flera tusen av hans soldater skulle stupa. 28 dog, men nu var staden intagen.
We had made arrangements for the Arab coalition forces to go into the city. And I was sitting there getting a little restless and wondering, okay, what are we going to do? I'm tired of sitting here, so we drove into the city. And the outpouring was something I'll never forget. I don't know where all the people came from. They came down to the side of the road by the thousands. And they had Kuwaiti flags, and some had American flags. Vehicles that the Iraqis hadn't stolen or destroyed, they had acquired some of those, so they were driving around us in this mad circle. I thought, sure, we were going to crush a vehicle. What they were saying was, God bless you, America, God bless you. You know, we love you. Very emotional moment for us after all of this.
Saddam Hussein hade väntat sig ett blodigt ställningskrig på slagfältet som skulle undergräva de allierade stridsvilja. Nu kämpade han för att överleva. De allierade ville utplåna hans retirerande armé, framförallt det republikanska gardets elitdivisioner, och krossa Irak som militärmakt. Det ansågs inte troligt att hans regim skulle överleva en sån förödmjukelse.
قال امامي وكان يوشك ان يبكي انا لا اقول بكى بحضوري ولكن بكى في مكان اخر وكان يقول في النص لا ندري ماذا يبيت الله لنا غدا وهذا يعني كم من انهيار يعني ما نعرف يقول شنو الله كاتب لنا ايش راح يصير بينا باكر ما نعرف.
Kuwait City hade befriats, men de häftigaste striderna under hela kriget återstod. Medan britterna omringade armén i söder förföljde Saddams bästa förband, det republikanska gardet, av amerikanskt pansar. Irakierna hade avdelat en eftertrupp som skulle skydda huvudstyrkans reträtt, men amerikanerna var fast beslutna att krossa dem.
We never once said to anybody, Your mission is going to be complete as soon as we kick the Iraqis out of Kuwait. That was not what we told our forces. We said to our forces that we wanted to close with and destroy the Republican gods.
Den irakiska eftertruppen gjorde sig stridsberedd. När amerikanerna ryckte fram hade ett stort antal stridsvagnar ur republikanska gardets Madina-division grävt ner sig längs en ås. Försvarslinjen var 10 kilometer bred. Det som nu hände döptes till slaget vid Madina-åsen.
I know there's enemy out there, but I don't know where the heck they're at. And then, boom, we were in it. I look up and it was about 3,700 meters away. And there's BMPs and T-72s sitting on the ridge.
And we discovered later from a sergeant we captured that we had caught them during lunch.
Open gate online within 3 seconds had let loose with their first rounds. Moving about 20, 25 miles an hour like a cavalry charge towards the Iraqi emplacements. And all you could see every time we shot was a massive explosion.
De irakiska stridsvagnskanonerna hade en räckvidd på 1500 meter, bara hälften av amerikanernas.
The turrets were flipping 40, 50 feet in the air. 11 tons of steel just, it was incredible to see a gun tube and the turret just spinning up in the air and landing hundreds of yards away from the vehicles.
It was really awe-inspiring, the destructive power of that unit. And I distinctly remember have this feeling in the pit of your stomach about the power that thing has and it can bring to bear.
We took prisoners, very few, at Medina Ridge. Very few. I saw 3. And in the desert, you could see for miles. Most people I saw were dead. Later on in the battle, when I rolled up there was pieces everywhere. I have never seen such destruction in my life. I was just shocked that people can do so much devastation in such a short period of time.
300 irakiska stridsvagnar och pansarfordon med besättningar slogs ut längs den 10 kilometer breda fronten. En amerikan dödades. Nu hotades det retirerande republikanska gardet av total utplåning. Saddam Hussein underrättades på radio om nederlaget.
بأن سقوطه أصبح قاب قوسين أو أدنى سألني لي مباشرة هل تعتقد بأن الحلفاء سيتقدموا نحو بغداد وكان مبتئسا خائفا بصراحة خائفا
Nu när eftertruppen var utslagen lät Schwarzkopf de amerikanska stridsvagnarna sätta kurs mot havet. Samtidigt ilade andra pansarstyrkor och luftlandsatta förband fram för att omringa de irakiska trupperna. 60 helikoptrar ur USA:s 101:a luftlandsättningsdivision gjorde ett hopp på 160 kilometer långt in i den irakiska öknen. De hade tilldelats en krävande uppgift. Trupperna hade order om att bygga en flygbas varifrån Apache-helikoptrar kunde anfalla det republikanska gardet tills pansarstyrkorna nådde fram. På 2 timmar var basen funktionsduglig. Vågor av attackhelikoptrar landade för att tanka och fortsatte sedan norrut i jakten på fienden. Doug Gabram ledde en grupp på 4 Apache-helikoptrar.
We took off due north as fast as we could go, probably 30 feet off the ground, 120 knots. The terrain changed. We started flying over marshes.
Det här såg Gabram genom helikopterns målkamera. Irakierna fanns på en vägbank som gick genom träsken norr om Kuwait.
We saw people dismounted infantry. I'd see the AK-47 raised with the white flag on it. Initially I didn't fire. My chalk 2 or 3 would say, hey, the guy's shooting at us. You know, they're shooting at us with white flags on the end of their barrels. And my philosophy changed in that I'm not going to take any chances. So when I see troops, I'm going to fire.
I got people running in the road there. I only count 3 airplanes. Where's the other?
Hundratals soldater låg i vassen ut med vägbanken.
Second fire on your left door right now. This is Air Cat 44. They got 1-6 on uniform.
När Gabriel fortsatte längs vägbanken kom det ett nödanrop från en amerikansk pilot som fått sitt plan nedskjutet och nu var på väg ner i fallskärm. Piloten landade oskadd. En räddningshelikopter kom till undsättning. Fem av de åtta i besättningen dödades.
This was an opportunity to really go save somebody, we thought, and we took two Apaches and my Black Hawk and just started going there. Right within a couple kilometers of where this guy supposedly was, and we're still seeing American troops, so we thought, man, it's going to be not difficult. And then all of a sudden, like maybe a minute later, we are in the middle of a crossfire, just the worst anti-aircraft guns we'd ever had. We'd gotten shot at before, but it was clear that these guys were waiting for us. You could feel the aircraft shudder. Then I think that's when the tail boom kind of disseparated from the rest of the aircraft. And then everything went black. It was sometime later, and all of a sudden I just realized I was lying down, and I thought I was dead. It was the most weird feeling, because nothing hurt, and I couldn't hear anything. And it was very peaceful, and I thought, well, I must be dead. I looked up, and I saw five